everything's just chill, but then like...
Radio Patapoe komt naar jou toe met onze uitzendkracht. De sterke zender zorgt voor werkgelegenheid. Radio Patapoe collecteert ook voor de kinderbestrijding. Geef gul. Uw geld komt heel goed terecht. Patapoe doet het niet alleen, maar belooft het ook. Onze uitzendingen zijn tevens heilig verklaard. Vraag het de paus. Prins Alexander zag ik laatst met een ander. Ik zweer het u.
En dat is beloofd.
The longer I stayed here, the facade started to like fall away. And yeah, and it's, I mean, I've been here for, you know, almost 6 years now, and I don't quite know what to make of it still, you know? But like recently, like with the passage of, or like with the most recent like election, you know, like so the local measures that passed and went and didn't pass.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Oregon loves to have a black friend. Like that's what they like. They like to have somebody they can point to and be like, look, I'm not racist, but they're not interested in actually like challenging the like white supremacist like power structures that actually like benefit them. And if you like, if you agitate them on that, they just, you know, that's when like the Pacific Northwest like passive aggressiveness like kicks in, and they just like kind of like try to ignore you, but secretly they're totally fucking pissed off that you dare to like insinuate that they're racist. But yeah, that's like, it's a really complicated thing, and I still quite haven't figured out like what makes white people tick here, but it's, you know, it's messy.
Another activist we interviewed, Courtney, is an indigenous Hawaiian person who moved to Oregon when she was 17. She recalls being stunned by how white her school was.
I, like, ended up going to Oregon City High School, which was, like, insane. I was the only non-Hispanic person that was at that school. And nobody talked to me for a really long time, and I just was kind of like, it was a culture shock because there were so many white people. That I had never seen this many white people in my entire life, because everyone in Hawaii is like mixed races. Majority of them are Asian or Polynesian. So I definitely was, nobody really talked to me for a while, and I kind of like found my little niche of people to hang out with. But yeah, like just even living in that area, I would get a lot of weird looks. And, yeah, just not the most friendly people to be around. Yeah, that's basically, it's just a culture shock to just see how white Oregon is.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it at all. I didn't, and I was like, I knew that there were going to be like Hispanic people, but I just didn't realize that, I thought maybe I would see more like black people.
Yeah.
And especially living in a city, you know, when you're from Hawaii and you're like, Portland is just like a major city in the United States. And then coming here and not really seeing the mix of cultures was just kind of shocking.
Tristan described the racism in Portland as unique in a subtle way.
It's very covert, or, you know, it tries to be very covert. And it's very part of what it is that for a very long time now, there have barely been any people of color here at all. Like, you know, it's one of the whitest states in the country. It's the whitest major city in the country. And so, like, to a certain extent, people are, they just don't actually know what, like, you know, like what, like a microaggression is, or what that would be. Like, you know, I had to experience, just a year and a half ago, maybe, I was out with this group, these like forest defender type people, and every year they go out and host this big camp out and, you know, like go out into the woods and do like surveys and stuff like that and try to collect data they can use to fight timber companies and shit. And like, someone just dropped the N-word, like, just 5 feet from me, just like in casual conversation. And then I had to like address the camp, like, at breakfast. And I was like, okay, so just don't say that word. Like, there's no, even if you're just telling a story, like, there's no appropriate context for a white person to say that. And that's one of the reasons why I don't go to those fucking campouts anymore. But, like, it's like that. It's like they just don't, they haven't been around black people or people of color in general, and they just don't know what to do.
And of course, the racism that pervades Portland is present in the Portland Police Bureau. Despite black people making up, again, less than 6% of the population, Portland police use force on black people more often than people of any other race. Portland police are 5 to 14 times more likely to shoot impact munitions at and to forcibly restrain black residents. At one point in the late 60s, black Portlanders accounted for nearly half of PPB's arrests. Portland's black community has been fighting against this kind of racist violence for decades. Here's Max Smith again.
For me, the battle with the police began, you know, in the hip hop field. There was an event here in Portland that happened maybe 6 or 7 years ago that happened at a venue called the Blue Monk. And it was a pretty big deal. And I was there and I had friends who were performing at the show, and the police essentially came under the guise of a capacity violation and brought like a 7 cars and 20 something officers and shut the whole street of Belmont down. And that bar eventually actually ended up closing shortly after that. And it was a huge deal. They made a huge deal about a small thing, and it went like into like national news. And even prior to that, we had been really combating the efforts of the police to kind of shut a down or stifle a hip hop events in the city. Every time we wanted to have a hip hop event, it became like, you know, like a world war, to the point that it ended up actually being a protest about the hip hop community here. And so that was a fight that we had as far as hip hop music in clubs, as far as hip hop events, as far as live music. They really just used the city's resources, that the police, the fire marshals, and the OLCC to really like shut down hip hop and really any black led events.
Lawyer Alan Kessler has done a lot of digging into the early history of the Portland police. His research has revealed a century long history of Portland police involvement with hate groups, most particularly the Ku Klux Klan.
I think it was last Memorial Day. I spent the whole weekend in the Oregonian archives, basically living through World War II. It wasn't fun. And it's outrageous. Like, the Klan was on, there was a front page column, talk to a Klansman every day for like a week. And then every other day they had the Klan on the front page anyway. But that, you know, that was like, it was incredible. During the war, basically everybody, every adult white dude had a little star badge. The police would basically deputize anybody, or people would just go get badges made. So everybody in town had a badge. There were lots of articles in that time frame about fake police officer pulls over so-and-so and they sue.
In 1923, a Portland Telegram article reported that the Portland Police Bureau was, quote, full to the brink with Klansmen. The police bureau actually deputized 100 Klansmen, handpicked by the local Grand Dragon, and designated them Portland Police Vigilantes. This was before the PPA existed, but the tradition lives on. In 2010, Portland police officer Mark Kruger was suspended for erecting a memorial to 5 deceased Nazi soldiers on city property. The PPA successfully sued for him to be reinstated and given an apology. When he quit in early 2020, he was the highest-paid police officer on the force. I ask Mariah, a lifelong Portland resident, what her earliest memory of the police was. Here's what she told me.
I would say it was when I was a child, honestly. I've had some family stuff, and a family member have to go away to prison. So I remember some like vaguely stuff, like remember then, as far as like police brutality-wise. The very first like murder I remember was Kendra James. That what happened like a mile from my house. And I want to say I was like 10 at the time.
Kendra James was a 21-year-old black mother of two She was killed under suspicious circumstances during a traffic stop. Her killer, Officer Scott McAllister, fired a single shot when James attempted to drive away from the traffic stop after the motion of the vehicle caused him to fall. A number of the statements he made in court were inconsistent with physical evidence required from the shooting, and we don't really know exactly what happened. Among other things, the police argued in court that Portland police were trained to, quote, shoot as they fall.
Seriously, F the police is how I grew up. My dad is a huge, like, Tupac fan, so, like, I would grow up on hearing Tupac lyrics all the time about screw the police and everything. So, yeah, no, screw, yeah, no, that's how I, like, grew up, yeah, is to, like, not interact with them. Yeah, I've grown up, you know, how a lot of us, you know, people who are Black feel, like, you know, when we're being followed, profiled, all that. I mean, I got profiled today in a store. Like, it still happens. It's been going on since a kid. I don't know when it will stop, but, you know, still goes on.
Officer McAllister was acquitted in federal court. He got to keep his job. But even if he had been fired for the shooting, the firing might not have stuck. Nationwide, 25% of police officers fired for misconduct are reinstated because of union-mandated appeals. Over the years, this has included an officer who challenged a handcuffed man to a fistfight for his freedom, and a cop who sexually assaulted a young woman in his patrol car. In many cities, the number of police reinstated by union appeals is much higher than 25%. 70% of fired San Antonio officers are reinstated because of union appeals. The number is 62% for Philly cops and 50% for Minneapolis cops. This is part of why the people of Minneapolis burnt the 3rd Precinct to the ground after George Floyd's murder. They knew from experience that it was extremely likely Derek Chauvin, Floyd's killer, would not just avoid prison, but would soon be back on the street with a badge. In fact, as soon as Derek Chauvin and the other officers responsible for George Floyd's death were fired, police union head Bob Kroll started fighting to have them reinstated. He was concerned that they had been, quote, terminated without due process. Kroll was oddly unconcerned that the same thing was true of Mr. Floyd. The fact that police officers are extremely difficult to fire, even when they commit murder or rape on the job, is a national problem. But it is a national problem that traces back to a single place. Where else? The city of Portland, Oregon. And more specifically, to the Portland Police Association.
We crook it.
The Portland Police Association, or PPA, is Portland's police union. And in a way, it's the police union, because the PPA is actually the oldest functioning police union in the United States. Police had attempted to unionize several times before the PPA was established in 1942, but Portland was the first city to get it right, and the PPA has served as a model for the rest of the nation's law enforcement ever since. Every other police union in the United States is based off of the Portland Police Association. And one of the many trends the PPA set was in suing to reinstate fired officers. This story starts on the night of March 12, 1981, when two Portland police officers from the North Precinct dumped 4 dead possums in the doorway of the Burger Barn, one of Portland's few Black-owned businesses. The use of the word possum as a derogatory term for Black Americans dates back as far as 1830. The owner of the Burger Barn, George Powell, called the police commissioner to report the incident and claimed that it was only the latest example of police harassment his business had faced. An internal investigation was opened, and the officers responsible, Ward and Galloway, admitted their guilt immediately. Their identity was initially kept hidden thanks to a clause in the PPA contract with the city that protected officers from having their names disclosed during disciplinary proceedings. This is another one of the innovations that the Portland Police Association brought to police departments nationwide, by the way. The possum incident happened at an awkward time for the Portland police. Several officers had just been fired and convicted of faking evidence and using illegal drugs on the job. Nearly 100 criminal cases had to be thrown out because of falsified evidence. Public opinion of the police bureau was low, and when Portlanders started marching and demonstrating to demand that officers Ward and Galloway be fired, the police commissioner was only too happy to oblige them. Enter Stan Peters, the most powerful union president Portland has ever had. Peters took to every local news show in town. He circulated petitions. He even organized a mass protest march made up of Portland police officers and their families. He forced the city government into arbitration, which ended with both officers being rehired and given back pay. There's actually a book about the Portland Police Association, Pickets, Pistols, and Politics. Alan Kessler informed us of its existence. Here's what it says about the court case that resolved the Possum incident. Quote, "The City of Portland versus Ward and Galloway case is still the leading police discipline case in the United States, and in labor law circles is the arbitration decision referred to the most often. Its legal nomenclature is simply City of Portland." And so in the end, it really isn't that odd that the city of Portland wound up as ground zero for a battle against white supremacy and police brutality, and a battle for black lives. It's actually been that for a very, very long time.
As much as people have just kind of started to contextualize how Antifa has been fighting against these chuds here for years, you know, it actually isn't just the last couple of years where it's been in the news. This has been going on for decades in Portland. There's always been a level, especially like in Southeast Portland, there's always been like, even like in the 80s, there's been like, you know, these white skinhead groups and the Sharps. And it's always kind of been like a race war between the white folks in Portland, especially in the Southeast.
Over the course of the summer of 2020, Portland's wounds were exposed to the world. After George Floyd's gruesome murder accelerated long-brewing unrest across the country and even the globe, the Northwest's liberal bastion was forced to reckon with its own deeply anti-black traditions, while also becoming an unlikely epicenter in a movement for black lives that had taken the world by storm. Thousands took to the streets in a battle that would be fought against a corrupt police force, Trump's federal agents, right-wing vigilantes, and even at times between protesters themselves. Through it all, people banded together to support each other and build the infrastructure that would propel the city to 100-plus days of protests that even the strongest tear gas couldn't end. In the next episode, we will delve into how a disorganized crowd of angry Portlanders turned themselves into a movement that could stand up to the worst violence the Trump administration could throw at it.
Word to grandpops who couldn't fathom the Obamases. I don't hate America, just a man, she keeps her promises. 20 teens looking like the 60s, it's crazy. A nationwide deja vu, what my people supposed to do? Go to schools named after the Klan founder. Word round town is y'all don't see why we frowning. Native American students forced to learn about Winnow Para Sarah. How is that fair, bruh? Some heroes unsung and some monsters get monuments built for them, but ain't we all a little bit of monster? We crooked. Man, your heroes are worthless. And man can show pride, but only God gives purpose. You crooked.
Deixe-me beijar, eu prometo nunca mais irei magoá-la. Quero que você me compreenda, por favor, que eu não estou brincando com o nosso amor. Se eu disse tudo aquilo foi sem pensar, que a mim só existia você para amar. Oh Melody, Melody, Melody. Oh Melody, 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 meu amor. Oh Melody, Melody. Oh, Marilyn, 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 Marilyn. Oh, Marilyn, 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 Marilyn. Eu juro, queridinha, torno a dizer, um dia sem você, sei que eu vou morrer. Oh, Marilyn, Marilyn, Marilyn. Se eu disse tudo aquilo foi sem pensar,
que a mim só existia você falar. Oh Marilyn, Marilyn, Marilyn. Oh Marilyn, 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 meu amor. Oh Marilyn, Marilyn, você é uma flor. Oh Marilyn, 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 Marilyn. Oh Marilyn, 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 Marilyn. Eu juro que ele tinha se tornado seu. Um dia sem você eu sei que é morrer. Oh Marilyn, Marilyn, Marilyn.
...600 dagen oorlog. Mijn kijk op de oorlog in Oekraïne in de week van 8 tot 16 oktober 2023. Vandaag, maandag 16 oktober, is het 600 dagen geleden dat Rusland een aanval uitvoerde op Oekraïne. In de wekelijkse beschouwingen die ik vanaf mei 2022 maak, lag de nadruk op de illegaliteit, maar ook op het buitenproportionele karakter van die aanval, zowel van Russische als Oekraïnse zijde. Oekraïne is in toenemende mate militair gesteund door het Westen. Steeds duidelijker wordt het dat die steun niet genoeg is om de oorlog te winnen. Speculeren op een Russische ineenstorting is een zwakke strategie. Vanaf april 2022 gaf de Amerikaanse regering openlijk toe dat naast steun voor Oekraïne ook het verzwakken van Rusland een doel is. En vorige week meldde ik dat ook minister Ollongren deze doelstelling hardop ondersteunt. We stevenen af op een uitputtingsoorlog. Inmiddels is er nog een enorme oorlog uitgebroken. Dat brengt me op de volgende punten. De lagen van de oorlog, grootmachtconfrontaties, ontwikkelingen aan het front, nieuwe ontploffingen in de Oostzee, Amerikaanse politiek en hegemoniale controle, meer Nederlandse wapens voor Oekraïne en Amerikaanse cluster munitie en Nederlandse kanonnen in Oekraïne. De lagen van de oorlog. Een van de kernpunten van mijn analyse is dat deze oorlog een wereldwijde confrontatie tussen grootmachten bevordert en dat steeds meer lagen aan de oorlog worden toegevoegd. 3 weken geleden werd de bevolking van Stepanakert in Nagorno-Karabach op de vlucht gejaagd. Dit was een etnische zuivering ingeleid door een militaire greep naar de controle over de Lachtchkin-corridor en de aankondiging van het einde van de Armeense enclave. Dit weekend heeft de president van Azerbeidzjan in gevechtspak zijn eigen Azerbeidzjaanse vlag gehesen. Missie voltooid, volksverdrijving geslaagd. En deze zet kon Azerbeidzjan doen omdat de Russische controle was verminderd als gevolg van de oorlog in Oekraïne, waar Russische soldaten heen gestuurd werden en de aandacht van de legerleiding op was gevestigd. President Aliyev van Azerbeidzjan profiteerde maximaal. Er was geen ophef over de volksverdrijving van Armeniërs uit Nagorno-Karabach. De confrontaties tussen grootmachten. Inmiddels is ruim 1 miljoen mensen in het noorden van Gaza bevolen weg te gaan. Want Israël gaat Hamas uitroeien. Anders dan in Azerbeidzjan zal de Israëlische overwinning niet zo vlot verlopen. De etnische zuivering is hetzelfde plan. Israël heeft zich een dubbel doel gesteld. Regime change en etnische zuivering. Palestina was in alle grote crisis de afgelopen decennia wisselgeld voor de grootmachten. En dat zal het nu ook zijn, valt te vrezen. Voor Palestijnse burgers ziet het er beroerd uit. Voor de nationale Palestijnse beweging is de situatie ook niet florissant. Misschien dat een wereldwijde boycott van het Israëlische bedrijfsleven een impuls krijgt. Palestina kan wel eens aanleiding zijn voor een doorzettende trend, namelijk andere wereldverhoudingen en verdere slijtage van westerse hegemonie. Natuurlijk is de bezetting van Palestina veel ouder dan de bezetting van Oekraïns grondgebied. Het belang van de veranderende wereldverhoudingen wordt uitstekend onder woorden gebracht door journalist Bram Vermeulen in een polemiek met oud-Kamervoorzitter Frans Wijsglas. Wijsglas springt altijd op belangrijke momenten in de bres voor Israël. Vermeulen wijst op de hemeltergende hypocrisie van het Westen. bij de toepassing van internationaal recht. Dat doet veel landen elders in de wereld besluiten niet bij de westerse politiek aan te sluiten. Dat was duidelijk bij de oorlog in Oekraïne. Het mondiale zuiden voelde weinig voor de sanctiepolitiek van Rusland, nog voor de bewapeningspolitiek ten gunste van Oekraïne. Eenzelfde verschijnsel treedt nu ook op. Hoewel de Palestijnse zaak zich al decennia in solidariteit mag verheugen, al was het maar met lippendienst in steun van grote delen van de wereld. Dat brengt me op de ontwikkeling aan het front in Oekraïne. De resultaten van 9 maanden oorlog in 2023 bestaan eruit dat zo'n 500 vierkante mijl is uitgewisseld tussen de legers van Rusland en Oekraïne. En afgelopen week heeft Rusland een serieuze aanval gedaan op Oekraïnse stellingen bij de stad Avdiivka. De Russische strijdkrachten hebben vooruitgang geboekt, maar de vorderingen staakten na enkele dagen. De situatie zit vast, omdat ook Oekraïne geen wezenlijke winst boekt in het zuiden van het front. Inmiddels heeft een voormalige vooraanstaande assistent in de Oekraïnse regering, Arestovych, zijn voormalige chef, president Zelensky, zwaar gekritiseerd voor politieke beoordelingsfouten met het contra-offensief dat in juni is begonnen. Het offensief is mislukt, aldus Arestovych. Het doel om de Oekraïnse soevereiniteit te herwinnen over de grenzen van 1991 is uitgesloten. Hiermee is duidelijk dat er stilgehouden twijfel op straat ligt en er openlijk ruzie wordt gemaakt in de top van de Oekraïnse staat over de stand van zaken. Brengt me op het onderwerp opnieuw ontploffingen in de Oostzee. In september 2022 ontplofte 3 van de 4 pijpleidingen van de Nord Stream 1 en 2 gasleidingen in de Oostzee. De daders en hun opdrachtgevers zijn nog onbekend gebleven, maar hebben tot meerdere theorieën geleid. Vorige week is een andere gaspijpleiding onklaargemaakt. Het gaat om de Balticconnector, die tussen Estland en Finland verbindt en die de beide landen onderling van gas voorziet. De regeringen van beide landen zijn ervan overtuigd dat de leiding is gesaboteerd. Maar ook hier is de dader onbekend. Inmiddels heeft de NAVO laten weten dat als blijkt dat een andere staat de gasverbinding heeft vernield, er een overtuigend antwoord van de NAVO komt. Wat wordt dat? Meer geheime oorlogvoering en escalatie? De Amerikaanse wapenindustrie draait op volle toer. En ondertussen gaat de steun aan Oekraïne gestaag door. Afgelopen week was in Brussel een belangrijke NAVO-vergadering waar een winterpakket is samengesteld. De afgelopen week zijn ondanks de interne politieke strubbelingen in de VS toch meer wapenpakketten aan Oekraïne overgemaakt. Een belangrijke groep rechtse republikeinen slaagde erin de kritiek op Oekraïne dreigend, maar ook effectief te maken. De Amerikaanse militaire interventiepolitiek is verder geïntensiveerd, omdat ook Israël een groot beroep op de Amerikaanse steun doet. Die steun krijgt het. Zonder voorbehoud. Diezelfde groep rechtse republikeinen heeft geen bezwaar tegen militaire steun voor Israël. De Amerikaanse president zint nog op de juiste middelen, maar het plan gaat rond om een enorm wapenpakket voor te leggen aan het parlement dat samengesteld is voor 3 landen. Naast Oekraïne, waarover de weigerachtige Trumpisten zich roeren, gaat het om Israël en Taiwan. En de president denkt zo de tegenstand tegen militaire steun aan Oekraïne te kunnen verdelen en inpakken. En wat de Nederlandse versterkingen voor Oekraïne betreft, Nederland heeft nieuwe maatregelen genomen. De wapenzendingen aan Oekraïne zijn verder opgevoerd. We hebben nu een totale waarde van 2,1 miljard euro. Bijna 1 miljard betreft directe leveringen. Het pakket bevat onder meer drones, ontmijningsuitrusting en munitie. En voorts zal Nederland de Reaper drone in Roemenië stationeren voor het vergaren van inlichtingen over de Russische handelingen. Afgelopen vrijdag 13 oktober kwam er een nagezonde mededeling. Nederland levert een extra Patriot luchtafweerraket voor Oekraïne. Een week geleden besloot Duitsland ook een Patriot te leveren. Duitsland deed dat als compensatie voor het niet leveren van de Taurus kruisraket. Nederland en Duitsland hebben steeds samen opgetrokken bij de levering van Patriot installaties. De levering van dit materieel, zegt de regering, heeft langdurige gevolgen voor de inzet van de Nederlandse krijgsmacht. En dat betekent kortweg dat de verdediging van Nederland samenvalt met die van Oekraïne. En dan nog over de Nederlandse kanonnen met Amerikaanse clustermunitie. Het heeft even geduurd, maar de antwoorden zijn binnen op de Kamervragen van 13 juli over het gebruik van Amerikaanse clustermunitie in Nederlandse panzerhaubitsjes in de oorlog in Oekraïne.
Hello listeners and welcome to Formula Indie, the music showcase to promote independent music, produced by European Indie Music Network. This is European Indie Music Network, the house of independent artists. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and other services. This is Formula Indie.
Tried, man. Y'all need to step y'all game up.
Step it up.
Step y'all lyrics up. Step up in general.
Chill. We got the club jumping. Step up. Slide through with them bad chicks. Step up. The illest click out here. Step up. We the hottest in the street. Yeah. Step up. We got the club jumping. Step up. Slide through with them bad chicks. Step up. The illest click out here. Step up. We the hottest in the street. Yeah. Step up. We keep the club jumping, always into something. Beat steady bumping, riot music thumping. No future in your frontin', I keep your shorty slumping. From the back bumping, I like that ass plumping. Soft like Teddy Ruxpin, yeah, man, I'm going in. 1, 2, 3, your body pin, guaranteed I'm gonna win. And I put that on the fin, I got it locked like a pin. All I need in this life is sin, me and my girlfriends. Glocks and a couple gin, Hennessy and some blood. Cash by the stacks and lumps, step up, you getting trunk. What I told you from the jump, rappers looking like some punks. Boxy boy like some guns, sweeter than some chocolate chunks. Man, I swear them boys inspire, you can see it in their eyes. So it ain't no surprise, that's a lie, he gonna ride. Hottest in the streets to try, shining like some fireflies. And we steady on the rise, still focused on the prize. We got the club jumping, step up. Slide through with them bad chicks, step up. The illest click out here, step up. We the hottest in the streets, yeah, step up. We got the club jumping, step up. Slide through with them bad chicks, step up. The illest click out here, step up. We the hottest in the streets, yeah, step up.
You already know what it is, dog. Everybody wanna know what I've been on. I've been thugging. I don't be clubbing, they mean mugging, but that don't mean nothing. I'm counting hundreds, still stunting on these hoes. The tribe out here doing all these shows. They mad when we doing what we supposed. I live life only focused on my goals. I don't see none of my foes. DT4L, we elevate the bar. It's hard for them to catch up. It's like they reaching for a star. They tell I'm next up, they better step up. I bet my lap up that there ain't gonna be another me. I'm confident that's how you gotta be. Give me any beat, I demolish it. I told Unk that I got this shit. DT4L, it's the try for life. That's what we rocking with.
We got the club jumping, step up. Slide through with them bad chicks, step up. The illest click out here, step up. We the hottest in the street, yeah, step up. We got the club jumping, step up. Slide through with them bad chicks, step up. The illest click out here, step up. We the hottest in the street, yeah, step up.
Ain't nobody on our level, we murdering any instrumental. Man, we really do this, everybody on my team is ruthless. And we keep improving, if you want them problems, then we can do this. The tribe is steady moving, if you ain't rocking with us, then what you doing? Hating on us is useless, cause we taking over like Ubers. Cooking up tracks like noodles, and we ain't stopping at no cost. We independent, so we are our own boss, and we ain't taking no loss. I laugh at these chumps, cause they is so soft. So do me a favor, cause we go hard like a game in the playoffs. And there's nobody that can save y'all. We about to take off to the top, and that's the promise. Let's be honest, who's the hottest? The tribe INC, yeah, we got this. I really mean it, it's nothing. Why they acting hard, but be ducking? Whenever we be bucking.
We got the club jumping,
got the club jumping. Step up, slide through with them bad chicks. Step up, the illest click out here. Step up, we the hottest in the street, yeah. Step up, we got the club jumping. Step up, slide through with them bad chicks. Step up, the illest click out here. Step up, we the hottest in the street, yeah. Step up.
Calcolino nella carpa, ai, che mi fa tanto tanto male, ai, batto il piede in su, lo batto in giù, giro, 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 sembro Belzebù, conto le stelle d'una d'una, ai, cerco di ridere alla luna, ai, provo di schiettarmi da cantare, ma quel calcolino mi fa sempre ballare. Sì, senza colpo sassolino piccolino che sei qui, con sassolino nella casa.
gasolina nella carpa, ai, che mi fa tanto tanto male, ai, batto il piede in su, lo batto in giù, giro e mi rigiro sempre per sedù, conto le stelle d'una d'una, ai, cerco il sorridere alla luna, ai, provo a fischiettarle la cantare, ma questa gasolina mi fa sempre mal, piano piano devo camminare, faccio un passo poi mi devo fermare, sono proprio sfortunato, sì, questa colpa sassolino piccolino che sei qui, con sassolino nella scarpa, ai, che mi fa tanto male, ai, passo il piede in su, lo batto in giù, tira e mi rigiro sempre per sedù.
Destruction of planet. Don't hold back too long, cause everybody wants to feel good. Smiling, my fella, like we have no cares in the world. It's not so hard.
Sin miedo y nunca lo olvidaré. En el amor está la llave, baby. Mi corazón no tiene clave, vente. Una copita de champán en San Juan me tiene loquito, vamos a celebrar. La vaina está buena, esto está ratata. La vida es sabrosa y la vamos a gozar.
Love is on the inside, so show it on the outside.
Y la vamos a gozar.
Spread the joy to people across the planet.
Hoy la vamos a formar.
And we all will see how this is gonna turn out.
Y la vamos a gozar.
Everything's alright, that's what I'm talking about.
Kelsey, come on.
Yeah, the world's what you make it. Go ahead and take it. Ask for all your wishes. Won't be any misses.
Dale.
Yeah, the world's what you make it.
In the house, pa. Dale.
clapping? Are you clapping?
But insane.